Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've pressed play on this one because today we're diving into one of the most exciting and relevant topics in your entire GCSE biology course, topic B6, Global Challenges. Now, I know what you might be thinking, global challenges sounds a bit vague, but trust me, once we unpack it, you'll see it's actually one of the most interesting topics on the spec. We're talking about how scientists monitor ecosystems, how we're going to feed a growing world population, and how we fight disease. From vaccines to genetically engineered medicines. This topic is where biology meets the real world, and examiners absolutely love testing it. By the end of this podcast, you'll have a solid grip on the core concepts, you'll know exactly what examiners are looking for, and we'll finish with a quickfire quiz to lock it all in. Let's go. Let's start with section one, monitoring the environment. One of the key skills in B6 is understanding how scientists measure biodiversity and population size. There are three main sampling techniques you need to know, and examiners regularly ask you to choose the right one for a given scenario. First up, random sampling using quadrats. A quadrat is a square frame, often 0.5 meters by 0.5 meters, that you place randomly in a habitat. You use random number coordinates to decide where to put it, which removes bias. Inside each quadrat, you count the organisms. This is brilliant for plants or slow-moving animals in a uniform habitat. The key word here is random. If a question says, explain how you would ensure your sampling is unbiased, your answer must include using random coordinates. Second, systematic sampling along a transect. A transect is a line you lay across a habitat, say from the edge of a woodland into an open field. You place quadrats at regular intervals along this line. This technique is used when you want to investigate how species distribution changes across an environmental gradient, like how plant species change as you move from shade to sunlight. The key phrase for exam answers is to investigate change across a gradient. Third, capture recapture. This one's used for mobile animals, things you can't just count in a quadrat. You catch a sample, mark them in a harmless way, release them, wait for them to mix back into the population, then catch a second sample. You count how many in the second sample are marked. Then you use the Lincoln-Peterson formula, N equals N1 multiplied by N2 divided by M, where N is the estimated population size, N1 is the first catch, N2 is the second catch, and M is the number of marked individuals in the second catch. Examiners love giving you the numbers and asking you to calculate, so practice this formula until it's automatic. Now let's move to section two, feeding a growing population. The global population is over 8 billion and growing. That creates enormous pressure on food production. Examiners want you to evaluate different strategies, their benefits and limitations. Hydroponics is growing plants without soil in nutrient-rich water. The advantages are that you can grow crops in any location, including deserts or urban areas. You can control nutrient levels precisely, and there are fewer pests. The disadvantage is the high setup cost and the need for electricity to run pumps and lighting. Biological control means using living organisms to control pests instead of chemical pesticides. For example, introducing a predator that eats the pest, the advantage is it's more sustainable and doesn't introduce chemical pollutants. The disadvantage is that the introduced predator could itself become an invasive species and disrupt the ecosystem. Examiners often ask you to evaluate biological control. That means you must give both sides and make a judgment. Genetic engineering of crops, sometimes called GM crops, involves inserting a gene from one organism into a crop plant to give it a desirable characteristic. For example, inserting a gene for pest resistance or drought tolerance. A common misconception that examiners flag is the assumption that GM crops always increase pesticide use. In fact, pest-resistant GM crops can reduce pesticide use significantly. Now, section three, genetic engineering, the detailed steps. This is a higher tier favorite. You need to know the exact steps and the correct terminology. Step one, identify the target gene, the gene that codes for the desired protein. Step two, cut out the gene using restriction enzymes. These are molecular scissors that cut DNA at specific sequences, leaving what we call sticky ends, short, single-stranded overhangs of DNA. Step three, cut open a vector, usually a bacterial plasmid, using the same restriction enzyme. This means the plasmid now has complementary sticky ends. Step four, join the gene into the plasmid using DNA ligase. This enzyme acts like molecular glue, sealing the sugar phosphate backbone. The result is a recombinant plasmid. Step five, Insert the recombinant plasmid into a host cell, usually a bacterium. The bacterium then expresses the gene and produces the desired protein. This is how we produce human insulin for diabetics, a real-world application examiners love to reference. Remember the mnemonic? Really sticky lollipops. Join bacteria, restriction enzymes, sticky ends, ligase, join bacterium. That's your five steps sorted. Section 4, disease. Communicable versus non-communicable. A communicable disease is one that can be passed from one organism to another, caused by pathogens like bacteria, viruses, fungi, or protists. Examples include tuberculosis, influenza, and malaria. A non-communicable disease cannot be passed between organisms. These include cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and most cancers. A critical exam point. Cancer is caused by uncontrolled cell division due to mutations. It is not simply a genetic disease you inherit, although some mutations can be inherited. Candidates who describe cancer as just a genetic disease lose marks. Also, and this is a common mistake, do not forget mental health when discussing overall health. Examiners specifically credit answers that acknowledge mental well-being as a component of health. Section 5, the immune system and vaccination. Your body has two lines of defense. The non-specific response includes physical barriers like skin and the action of phagocytes, white blood cells that engulf and digest pathogens through phagocytosis. The specific immune response involves lymphocytes. B lymphocytes produce antibodies, proteins that are complementary to specific antigens on the pathogen surface. Antibodies bind to antigens, neutralizing the pathogen or flagging it for destruction. Crucially, memory cells are also produced, which allow a faster, stronger response if the same pathogen is encountered again. This is the basis of immunity. Vaccination introduces a weakened, dead, or inactivated form of a pathogen, or just its antigens, to stimulate the immune response without causing disease. Memory cells are produced, so if you encounter the real pathogen later, your body responds rapidly before you become seriously ill. Monoclonal antibodies are identical antibodies produced from a single cloned B lymphocyte. They can be used in pregnancy tests, cancer diagnosis, and targeted drug delivery because they bind to specific antigens on cancer cells, delivering drugs directly to the tumor. Right, let's talk exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. Tip 1. Command words matter enormously. If the question says state, give a short factual answer, one or two words or a brief phrase. If it says explain, you must use the word because to link cause and effect. If it says evaluate, you must give advantages and disadvantages and reach a conclusion. Candidates who evaluate only one side cannot access the top marks. Tip 2, the capture-recapture formula. The most common error is dividing by the wrong number. Remember, n equals n1 times n2 divided by m, where m is the number of marked individuals in the second catch, not the total second catch. Tip 3, genetic engineering terminology. Examiners specifically look for the words restriction enzyme, sticky ends, DNA ligase, and vector. Vague answers like the gene is cut out and put into the bacterium will score one mark at most. Use the precise vocabulary. Tip 4, when describing sampling, always justify your choice. Don't just say, I would use a transect. Say, I would use a transect because I am investigating how species distribution changes across an environmental gradient from the woodland edge to the open field. Tip 5, data interpretation. B6, questions often include graphs or tables about environmental changes, species population over time, pollution levels, biodiversity indices. Use mathematical symbols where appropriate. Describe the trend precisely. The population decreased by approximately 40% between 2000 and 2010 is far better than the population went down. Tip 6, don't confuse biological control with genetic engineering. Biological control uses whole living organisms. Genetic engineering modifies DNA at the molecular level. These are completely different strategies, and mixing them up is a classic error. Okay, quick fire time. I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What enzyme cuts DNA at specific sequences, leaving sticky ends? Restriction enzyme? Correct. Question 2. In capture recapture, if n1 is 50, n2 is 40, and m is 10, what is the estimated population size? N equals 50 times 40 divided by 10, that's 200. Well done if you got that. Question 3. What type of white blood cell produces antibodies? B lymphocytes. Spot on. Question 4. Name one advantage of hydroponics over traditional farming. Any of can grow in any location, precise nutrient control, fewer pests, faster growth. All correct. Question 5. What is the role of DNA ligase in genetic engineering? It joins the gene to the plasmid, it seals the sugar phosphate backbone. Excellent. Brilliant work, making it to the end. Let's do a lightning summary of the big ideas. B6 is all about applying biology to real global problems. You need to know your 3 sampling techniques and when to use each one. You need to be able to calculate population estimates using the Lincoln-Peterson formula. You need to know the exact steps of genetic engineering with the correct terminology. You need to distinguish clearly between communicable and non-communicable diseases. And you need to understand how the immune system works, from phagocytosis to antibody production to vaccination. The golden rule for this topic: be specific, use technical vocabulary, and always justify your choices with biological reasoning. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, every mark you earn in the exam is a mark you've worked for. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.